grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is the Old Testament book of Amos, Amos chapter 8, beginning at the 4th verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, in just a few moments we will be singing during Holy Communion these words: I will strive to win a treasure. I will strive to win a treasure that will bring me lasting pleasure, and that now is seldom found. Words a lot like our Old Testament lesson for today from the book of Amos chapter 8. There we see some people who are striving to win a treasure. And this is what they say. They say, when will the new moon, that's the monthly festival, be over with, that we can sell grain? And when will the Sabbath day be over with, that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the portion size small but the price high, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of sandals, and sell the sweepings with the wheat? When can we do all of these things? I will strive to win a treasure. Now maybe they thought they were going to end up like Job. Remember Job from the Old Testament? What did Job have? He had 7,000 sheep. He had 3,000 camels. He had 500 yoke of oxen. He had 500 donkeys. He had very many servants. So, as the Bible says, this man was the greatest of all of the people of the East. He had all that stuff. Maybe that's what the people in Amos were trying to arrive at. And maybe they forgot that in one single day, Job lost all of it. He lost it all, and after that he lost his health. He lost everything. But here's the thing. He kept his treasure. He retained his treasure. He kept his treasure. From the book of Job. Then Job arose. After all these things happened, Job arose and he tore his robe and he shaved his head and he fell on the ground and he worshiped God. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now in those words, Job is a lot like somebody else we know from the Bible. Somebody else who lost everything. Book of Philippians talks about this person. It says, our Lord Jesus Christ was in the form of God. In other words, he's true God, God the Son. He was in the form of God, but he did not count equality with God his Father something to be held on to. But he emptied himself. He took the form of a servant. He was born in the likeness of men. He was found in human form. And he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He lost everything, even his own life. But he kept his treasure. As the words go on, therefore, God the Father has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And with that in mind, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the window behind me here, when Jesus was praying to his Father and he's about to lose everything, even his own life, what does he say? He says, Father, not my will, but thine be done. I will strive to win a treasure that will bring me lasting pleasure and that now is seldom found. And from all those words there, apparently, the treasure is not sheep, and the treasure is not camels, and the treasure is not oxen, and the treasure is not donkeys, and the treasure is not many servants, and the treasure is not even children or grandchildren or spouse or health or life. I mean, those are all treasures in a way, but they can't bring a lasting pleasure. They have only to do with this present life. They don't have to do with the life of the world to come, which we just confessed, what we confess in our creed. I mean, you think about that for a moment. Job lost everything, but what's the one thing he didn't lose? And there you go. And our Lord Jesus, he didn't lose it. He lost everything, but what didn't he lose? Both of them retained what? They retained the favor and the goodwill of their Father. His love and his mercy and his approval. And it was a close shave. Job said, "Naked I came into this world, naked I'll leave it." That's about as low as you can go. But he still was able to say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And our Lord Jesus, in the pain and the suffering of the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But as his life ended, he also could say, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Into your hands I commit my spirit," which are probably the words of, or the greatest words of rest that you're ever going to find in the Bible. "Lord, I commit myself into your gracious care. I commit myself into your keeping. I'm in your hands." And what better place to be? Well, with that, let's switch gears just for a moment. When people come to our church and they take our new member class, in that class, we learn that one of the reasons why God gave us his word or gave us his law, his commandments, is as a yardstick. And not a yardstick to wrap you over the knuckles, but a yardstick in a different way, to make a measurement, to measure human conduct, to measure human attitudes, to measure human motivations, to measure the words you use, to measure the plans that you make. And the one question you can't get away from is this: what you are thinking, what you're saying, what you're doing, how does it honor the Lord? How does it benefit the people around you and bring a blessing to them? Let's try an experiment. Let's take the yardstick, God's yardstick of his law, his word, and let's measure something. We'll apply the yardstick to the book of Amos, chapter 8. This is what it says. "Hear this, you who trample on the needy people, and you bring the poor people of the land to an end. You say, 'When's the new moon going to be over, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the portion small and the price great, deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver, the needy for a pair of sandals, sell the chaff with the wheat? The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds.'" Now, if you take the yardstick to that, the yardstick of God's holy law, you'll find that there are certain things there that look right. The coat of paint looks right. I mean, these folks are called God's people. That's a good thing. Not only that, these folks are going to church. They talk about the Sabbath day. Not only that, they're following the practices of their faith. They're following the monthly festivals that God had commanded. But if you scratch the paint and you look beneath the surface, you're going to find their real religion is someplace else. It is someplace else. They are striving to win a treasure. Only not the Lord's treasure. Yes, they go to church on Sunday, but what do they say? They say, "You know, when's that preacher going to finish up? When's he going to get that message over with? I'm in a hurry here. I got a business to run." They say, "Let's shrink the size of the product. Let's boost the size of the price. Let's add some fillers. Let's make other people go into debt for basic necessities. Let's sell them into slavery when they can't pay their debts, even if the debt is as small as a pair of sandals. You know, it gets to a point where it's almost a game. It's almost a joke. It's intoxicating. I can hurt you because I can hurt you. Now, we read things like that and we say, well, you know, that was back in the day. Was it back in the day? Yeah. Last Thursday. It was then. I heard on the news. There's a big doctors group down in Florida. A whole bunch of doctors got together. They had a big organization. And they built the insurance companies out of millions of dollars by overcharging the insurance companies. Now we hear that and we take it with a grain of salt because you've also dealt with insurance companies too. One person taking from another. Is it just back in the day? No, it's today as well. And we shake our heads and we look for reasons for it. We try to find explanations for it. We say, well, you know, maybe they got raised in poverty and they got into the habit of clawing for money. That's all they know what to do. Or maybe they get a sense of satisfaction from only having the best. Or maybe their vanity makes it important for them to be thought well of by their neighbors or be viewed as a success. Maybe they like the feel of luxuries. Maybe it's a way of keeping score. Maybe they just like to hurt people. Maybe. And you can go through page after page of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Psychological Disorders and you can try to find which one applies. Or you can just pull out the yardstick, which is what the Lord does. And he says, Amos chapter 8, this doesn't measure up. I didn't set things up this way. I didn't intend things to be this way. I will never forget anything they've done. There will be a day of judgment. Well, that's good. Lets us off the hook, doesn't it, right? Or does it? The problem with accounts like Amos 8 is these folks are so blatant, abysmally bad that you look good by comparison. And I look good by comparison. And for us, maybe we think that's our absolution. Well, at least I'm not like what? Those folks over there, or those folks over there, or my neighbor over here. I'm not like them. I don't run a crooked business. Do you really want to go down that path? I don't run a crooked business. I'm going to stop you right there. Let's pull out the yardstick. Because if you pull out the yardstick of what God says, you're going to realize very quickly that we all run a crooked business. All of us, how many? All of us have sinned in what? Fall short of the glory of God. Mark chapter 7, the Lord Jesus said, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. It's not just what other people are doing. What comes out of you? So what comes out of you? From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, and sexual immorality, and theft, and murder, and adultery, and coveting, and wickedness, and deceit, and sensuality, and envy, and slander, and pride, and foolishness, and you keep going. But Jesus says, all these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Would any of them look familiar to you? Do you run a crooked business? We all do. Because there's plenty of room, not just for the people from Amos 8, but there's plenty of room for all of us. Matter of fact, there's so much room there that we need a different kind of absolution, something better than, at least I don't behave like my neighbor. Or everybody does it and I do it the least. That's not an absolution. You need an absolution big enough to handle this sort of problem. A declaration of innocence. Where does it come? Well, we know that it happened on a cross when a man who was nailed to a cross next to the Lord Jesus finally came to see what he was, what he himself was. He finally came to see that he was a sinful person. He finally came to see that he deserved no good thing from the Lord. But then he finally came also to see Jesus. And what did he say? He said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. What was the Lord's response? He said, today I tell you the truth, you will be with me in paradise. And see, when you've been forgiven that much, you are not any longer going to see your treasure in terms of sheep and camels and donkeys and all sorts of livestock and servants. And when you've been forgiven that much, you're not going to see other people as objects to be ignored or to be exploited. And when you've been forgiven that much, you're not going to say, well, at least I don't do what other people do. You know, that's the lie of the century. You're simply going to say, Jesus, remember me too when you come into your kingdom. And there you'll find your treasure. There you will find your rest. And there you will find your hope. Hope not just for this life, but for the life to come as well. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord and our Savior. Amen.